This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, welcome to The Garden Show. I'm Dean Holland here in studio with Charlie Dobbin, the goddess of the garden. How are you this morning, Charlie?
I'm very well, thank you. That's not Dean Holland.
No.
That's Dean Holland.
And it's not Charlie Dobbins.
That's right.
It's Charlie Dobbin.
We were just joking.
Chatting about names, yes, about how people can get our names incorrect sometimes.
Mess up your name.
Yes. You know, we're going to make sure that we don't mess up the phone numbers. How's that? I'm going to give those up right now because we'd love for you to call with any gardening questions. And then we can chat further about the growth of our names, as it were, the blossoming of our and birds and such. Okay. So if you are in Toronto, the number to call is 416-360-0740, or anywhere else outside Toronto in the province of Ontario, it is a toll-free call, 1-866-740-4740. We would love to hear from you with any gardening questions pertaining to indoor gardening or outdoor gardening. Let Carlos know if you are a first-time caller, and I will give you your garden wings, which I will get up in a second. And we want you to call often, and we want you to call early. And one question per call, please. And there they are.
Woo!
There we are. The
Beautiful.
Garden wings.
Beautiful.
There you go. So, yeah, the big Nicely bird count done. Is on. It started yesterday.
The great backyard bird count. So I've got it up on the screen in front of us here. So the website is simple, birdcount.org. You can go to the real-time checklist submissions, which is what I've got going on here. And Canada, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
It's all happening in the States.
And particularly the eastern part of the States is very active.
Way out west there's somebody like in Oregon or Nevada. I would think it's still dark there right now, but maybe they're out looking at know, owls or something.
I love the fact that this is in real time because you can see all of the most
yellow.
Of the dots are black.
Those are the
you know,
submissions.
But as they're coming in, they're like a beacon, right?
That's right. As people send in their submissions. So what does that mean? You take 15 minutes, you walk, you sit inside, outside, and you just count species and count quantity of birds.
Okay.
And yesterday when I woke up at my place, you know, it was pretty icy everywhere, I think, yesterday morning. And it had been so green and so mild, and all of a sudden now there's ice everywhere. Well, I guess the birds woke up and went, whoa, what kind of a night was that? And they were all at my feeders. So I was just went, wow, there's like 20 birds at one feeder. There's multi-blue jays, cardinals, bunch of everything. We don't know what it is. We just call it a sparrow. It's like, those must be sparrows. But juncos and all the
And that was all from
chickadees.
What you said in the first minute you saw all that.
Oh, yeah. I just like looked out the window, you know, opened the curtains, was like, wow, there's a lot of birds at that feeder.
Wow.
Quick,
Do you recall in the 15 minutes, roughly numbers-wise, how many you put down?
I didn't stand there for 15 minutes. I had to get going.
Oh.
But you're right. It was... Elliot, who's far more retired than I am, I suggested that perhaps he get out a piece of paper and start counting. So I don't know if he did.
You're not sure. Okay. You know what we should do? We do have some announcements, but I have to go to first break.
Yeah.
So we'll go to that break, and then we'll come back. We'd love for you to call. Some of those calls are already coming in, and we do have some announcements. We'll be right back with much more here on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Oh, yes, we are back here on The Garden Show. And I was just looking out the window here from the studio in Liberty Village, Charlie. And I got to tell you, you know, no snow here. We got lots in the last couple of days up in Collingwood.
Oh, really?
I don't know Prince Edward County, but we have
everything
is white again.
Oh.
The joke around town is, you know, I see people said, so are you enjoying winter again? Because,
yeah,
you know, 2 days
skis.
Before that, we had people walking in shorts.
Wow. Dramatic.
Yeah.
The flora, the fauna is very confused. This has been February's been a weird month.
Mm-hmm.
From the very, very cold beginning and then that super mildness and now we're back to normal, you know, it has sort been of average temperature.
Doing this dance a few degrees on either side of zero.
Frogs are out, daffodils are up, crazy stuff's happening.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. You have an announcement before we get to a caller?
Sure.
Do you want to do a quick?
Yes, tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow, if you're in Toronto and you're interested, the Rock Garden and Hardy Plant Society, which is a pretty cool group, actually, will be meeting at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, 777 Lawrence Avenue East in Toronto. They have the meeting goes from 1 to 4. The speaker topic is Flora of the Turkish Silk Road.
Oh, that
sounds... Like, how cool is that?
Very neat. I don't know what it is, but it sounds neat.
It sounds really cool. Well, I guess the Turkish Silk Road is an up over the mountains going to China thing, right? Like, it's all about way back, the explorers and stuff. So, this is people who traveled along the road, saw all kinds of amazing plants, volcanoes, and beautiful valleys and rivers and lakes. So... each of these areas is home to incredible flora, and Barbara and Bella are going to be presenting that. They spent some time, and they are collectors.
Nice.
So, cool group.
I absolutely am a rock garden fan, I got to say.
I love
flowers that grow around rocks, for sure. Okay, let's go to our first caller. We have Harriet on the line, and she is calling from right here in Toronto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Harriet.
Hi, I'm going to turn off down my radio.
Okay,
good idea.
Yeah.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
There we are.
Perfect, thank you.
Sounded a little bit like lost in space there for a second. There you go. What do you got there for Charlie, Harriet?
I have a calla lily that I bought maybe 6 weeks ago. And I've been keeping it on. It's on my kitchen table, and it's mauve, purple, it's beautiful.
Nice.
The colors are beautiful, but it's now starting, some of the flowers are starting to go. There's still some good, and I'm wondering if I can cut it down and if it will come back or what. I live in a condo, so I don't have a garden that I could plant it in.
Oh, I'd be sneaking it downstairs if I were you. So what you do now, enjoy it where you've got it. Be careful with your watering, because remember, that is a bulb underground there. There's a storage organ.
It's said to water very little and not to fertilize it.
Okay, so there you go. So I mean, if you don't fertilize and you water very little, it's going to eventually go dormant, right? It may or may not send up more flowers. Enjoy them as they start to shrivel. Scissors, cut out the flowers. Allow the leaves to grow as long as the green leaves are there. The plant is alive and fattening up the bulb for the future. If you can, once we're frost-free, I personally, like I said, I'd be sneaking it down. There's got to be some little garden bed somewhere you can tuck it in and enjoy it, because it will flower again this summer if it can get outside. But it
all
might
right.
also...
Well, what if I have a balcony? What if I put it in the balcony in the summer?
Yeah, do that. Yeah, exactly. So water as necessary. I would fertilize, not every week or anything like that, but at least once. Mix up a bit of fertilizer as per the directions on the fertilizer package and fertilize it once. So enjoy it and, keep it going on your balcony. It should continue to provide some flowers for you through the summer. It will not survive outside in the winter. So if you want to keep it going, you'd have to bring
colors
it in.
Colors are beautiful.
Gorgeous. Yep. Enjoy while you've got it. It's a bit of a trick to keep it alive for very long, but they're fairly long-lasting flowers. So thank you.
All
thanks
right,
for calling.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Harriet. You have a good day.
Yeah.
Well, I like those calla lilies, too. They're very tubular looking. But
that's right. And
quite lovely.
They're neat because the colors are pretty intense, and they've got the finish on the petals is very matte finish. It's the opposite of shiny, right? So everything is just a really sort of a pure sort of colors.
I was almost picked some up a couple of weeks ago. I was looking at them going,
impulsively at the grocery store.
Yeah. I see them and I go, I could bring those home. I think I picked up something else instead.
So. Tulips.
Tulips. Love the tulips. Okay, let's go to our next caller. Going to Hamilton now. We have Dawn on the line. And Dawn is a first-time caller. Welcome to the Garden Show, Dawn.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
I am good. I've got your garden wings for you there.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
We have a euonymus bush right beside our front porch that has survived for a lot of years. And right now, it looks to me like it's wanting to die. It's got all kinds of little funny spots on the leaves, and we're wondering how we can make this euonymus bush survive.
Okay, so it's been there for many years. Okay, so what you've probably got, and it was there last year, you just probably didn't notice it, is an insect that is called euonymus scale, S-C-A-L-E. And that insect is a sucking insect. And you'll see it, looks like a little flecks, or like dandruff almost, on the plant. On the leaves, on the stems, all over the place.
Okay.
So the problem with scale insects is they are only available to be controlled at very specific times of the year.
Right.
So you know what? You're going to have to just leave that with me because I can't remember exactly about the timing of it. So, unless I can do this very quickly on the computer in front of me. So you want a scale? There's a photograph. Dean's just looking at the same monitor as I am. That's what it looks like. See, that looks like dandruff on the plant,
right?
It does
look like dandruff. Yeah, for sure.
And you're right. They weaken. There's so many of them on there now. They weaken the plant. They will eventually kill the plant. So what I'd be doing is cutting it back. I'm just not sure when you will control it, but you will use dormant spray. So this spring, even now, you can go out to your Canadian Tire, your Home Depot, and you can buy dormant spray. That's going to be a package with oil, horticultural oil, and lime sulfur in the package. And you are going to be spraying the oil in spring to early summer. So let's leave that with me for a minute, and we'll. I think we have to go for another break, but keep listening, and I will certainly let you know more details.
Okay, so I should actually cut that back right now.
Yes, and you know what? The scale are not active right now because it's cold, so you could cut it back now or you could wait another month. So whatever works for you. But when you cut it back, leave it on the property.
I wondered actually because with it being our front step, we put salt down in the wintertime so we don't slip on the ice. And I wondered if that was having an effect on it. But obviously, it's this little bug.
Yeah, and the reason the little bug got in there is probably, you're right, the salt is affecting the plant in a negative way. So if you are needing to salt, and anybody else who's listening, because we all sometimes need to control ice on our walkways, try and get what's called an environmentally friendly salt rather than rock salt. Something will not damage the concrete or, you know, whatever your steps are made out of, and also won't hurt plants and affect the soil. All right?
Okay.
Thank you, Don. Keep listening.
Thanks for the call, Don, and maybe we might have an update on that before the end of the show. Okay, gotcha. We have to take another one of our pauses. We have to listen to some important messages, but we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Garden tips and advice indeed with Charlie Dobbin. I got to tell you, Charlie, I was getting a little bit grossed out during that break there talking about that scale. Because I said, what is that white stuff? And you said that's like the poop they leave behind. That's awful.
Insect poop? Well, what's so awful about that? That's totally
looks
normal.
Terrible.
It's called frass.
Frass. Is that a romantic name?
No. It's just what do insects do? They don't poo. They
frass.
Frass.
Okay,
so back to the euonymus question.
Yeah.
Just quickly, Dawn, I hope you're still listening. Other people have euonymus. Listen up, because this is a very common problem in southern Ontario. Remember, stressed plants are always going to attract pests more than happy, vigorous, you know, growing well kind of plants. So a couple things that you can do, Dawn. One is think about top dressing the euonymus plants you have with some good quality compost, about an inch. This spring, when you can get out there, you can't obviously do it now, but in the next 2 months you can. Top dress. You're going to do some cutting back because you're going to need to, because you're going to have a fair amount of death on that plant. You're going to pull out your horticultural oil. You're going to keep an eye on the plant, and you are going to spray that horticultural oil every probably 2 weeks. There's going to be instructions on the package on the mix rate with water, and you're going to spray about every 2 weeks. Certain conditions, it's got to be above zero, no rain in the forecast, no wind, and you are going to attempt to control the next generation of scale by doing this spraying, and make your plants happier so they can resist future scale that might fly. They don't fly in. They move really slowly, but they do show up. I'm not sure how they get there, but they show up.
That's very interesting that they go after stressed plants, that they can sense that. I think that's very, very interesting.
Yeah, we know that. We don't know how they sense that, but we know that insects, whether it's an aphid or a scale or a, you know, anything, will go to a plant under stress first.
First. Wow. Okay, numbers to call. 416-360-0740. That's the Toronto number, okay? And if you live outside Toronto, anywhere in this province of Ontario of ours, it is a toll-free number I have for you, 1-866-740-4740. I have lots of room on the lines there, so give us a call with your gardening questions. Love to fire them to Charlie, okay? We're going to go to, and trip her up.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go to Beaverton now. I have we have Wendy on the line. Welcome to the Garden Show, Wendy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, good. How much snow you got in Beaverton?
Oh, we've got quite a lot of snow today.
Oh, good.
Lots of snow.
Nice. Good
for the plants, actually.
But it's beautiful outside. Mm. I want to ask a question. We've got a lilac purple Grand Flora rose bush, and it was beautiful when we saw it in the garden, in the greenhouse. We planted that rose bush about 3 years ago. It's going to be 4 years now. We haven't had one single rosebud, and it's just growing tall and green. Beautiful green leaves, but no flowers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so frustrated, I want to get rid of it.
Okay, so a couple of first things. Wherever you planted it, does this rose receive a minimum of 6 hours of direct sun every day?
Well, when we first had it, it wasn't getting that much sun. So we moved it to the back of the property.
Okay.
And where the sun is there all day.
Okay. So this is its second location from the first. So
When
did you move it? Last year or the year before?
We moved it last year.
Okay. So that's okay. So now it's in full sun. And the soil that you planted it into is a good quality, loamy kind of a soil?
Yes. Yes. I think it is.
I hope so. Right. Because... roses do not want to be in a wet spot. They don't want to be where it's soggy. If anything, you want to err on the side of gravelly soil rather than soggy soil when it comes to roses. They want very well-drained, preferably loamy, rich kind of soil because they do need the nutrient in order to produce the flowers. So, and when you move a plant, remember that the first thing the plant does, whether we bring it home from the garden center and plant it or we move it on the property, the first thing the plant wants to do and should do is grow roots. So we call that getting established. The plant has to grow roots, get established. While it's doing that, it's not making buds for flowers. It's growing roots. It's interesting you say it's super green, super happy, bushy kind of a plant, but no flowers. Two things can happen. Remember as well that a Grandiflora rose has been budded, so it has a root stock, and the chosen scion is the purple one flower on top. It is possible that the graft has failed and that what's growing beautiful and green is the rootstock and it just hasn't flowered yet. So do take a look. You could even go out now, unless it's all under the snow, see if that is still intact, that bulbous swollen stem where the graft or the bud was inserted way back when the grower was growing it. So just make sure that you've still got the original plant you bought. If you did, remain patient this spring, cut it right down to being at the most a foot tall. Give it fertilizer in the spring, rose food in the spring, chop it right down, and with all that sun and that fertilizer, something's going to happen. It's likely going to set flowers, and let us know whether it ends up with the proper purple you're looking for or some other little red flower you're not expecting.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Wendy.
Okay, have a nice day.
You as well. Thank you.
Enjoy the sunshine. It's a gorgeous day.
So, Charlie, is that how most roses are? Are most roses grafted that we have here?
Not all.
No.
Many. It's hybrid teas, grandifloras, floribundas, generally speaking, are budded or grafted. So a rootstock, which is a vigorous rootstock,
yeah.
and then the chosen rose goes on top of that. So,
and why is that?
Because the chosen roses that are so gorgeous do not have a vigorous or hardy enough root system to withstand our world, our temperatures, our climate.
Okay.
So that's why they do that. And I mean, if we lived in Texas, it would be fine. We would just grow whatever roses we wanted on whatever roots grow there. Mm. But then in Texas, we might be limited by water. So, you know, there's limitations no matter where you are. You know, think of the Valentine's Day. Did you buy roses for your wife?
I didn't. She doesn't.
No, but you know what I'm saying?
I usually go other routes.
The long stem roses with the big flower. That's a hybrid tea rose.
Gotcha.
Long stem, big single flower. Grandiflora that Wendy was talking about, long stem, multi-flowers on top of the long stem.
So where are roses typically indigenous to? Where do they love to grow?
I think very, very first ones came out of China.
Okay.
And then they've just gone all over the world for thousands of years. So it's a bit confusing where they really came from. But I think the original ones are from the up in the mountains because they need winter, like they need the cool, but they also need that great gravelly, well drained soil.
And as you say, you're saying 6 hours minimum.
Minimum. Yep. Lots of sun. Okay. That's why what's Alberta's provincial flower?
Is
a rose.
The rose.
Yeah, because it's lots of sun.
Lots of sun. Cool. Okay. Let's go to Julia now. We have Julia, and Julia is another one of our first-time callers,
good.
And she's calling from Pickering. Welcome to the Garden Show, Julia.
Good morning, Dean. Good morning, Charlie.
Had to give you garden wings.
Wings.
There you go.
Thank you. I have a Chinese perfume plant for the last 2 years or so. It's in a 10-inch pot, 30-inch high. It's not as full as it was a year ago. There's still a lot of green, but there's now brown leaves, solid brown and falling off, and little white dots on the leaves.
Okay. Tell me, what was it called in Chinese? What?
Perfume plant.
Perfume?
Plant, yes.
Never heard of it. Okay. Let me just look up what a Chinese perfume plant is, because I'm not quite sure what it is you're asking about.
Well, and plants these days would quite often be, they would usually are given non-technical names, right?
There's different, okay, there you go. Aglia odorata. Wow. Oh, I've seen this plant before. Okay, so it's a brown leaves, when did you get it?
2022.
Right. And so when you, so it looks to me like it's originally from Vietnam, grown in Taiwan. So in the wild, growing. You need to know, male or female flowers, both types of flowers are fragrant. So you haven't seen flowers, you've got green leaves, and you said spots. Spots on the leaves?
White little spots, dots.
White spots, brown spots?
Brown leaves and then white little dots on the green leaves here and there.
Have you ever put it outside in the summer?
Last year I did, yes.
Okay. And when you brought it in, you gave it a good wash, soapy water sort of thing?
Yes, they recommend 7 to 10 days a week, to make the soil well drained.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And lots of sun. So you've got a real sunny location now.
Yes.
You know what? It's a good time of year to do some cleaning up on any of our houseplants. I would, with my hands, comb out the brown leaves and have some sharp scissors or pruners handy. If a leaf is 99% brown or black, remove it. Same with the stems or where any of this browning is happening. While you're doing all that, you're going to be discarding all this brown leaves and black leaves and cleaning up whatever's dropped into the pot. You know what I mean? Just do a good cleanup, because plants do like to be admired and they like to be groomed. And this is a perfect day for it. So I do a whole cleaning up, scissoring out, etc. Water, I mean, we want to encourage growth. Plants that are sitting in a pot do run out of nutrient at some point. It's a limited amount of nutrient in those pots. So you're going to have to mix up some fertilizer at some point. I would start this month, even at this time, if you're watering today, make it some fertilizer in your water and fertilize once a month. Through till September. The little white spots, look closely. Even if you have a magnifying glass, look with a magnifying glass. It's hard to know exactly what those are without more information. If they're fuzzy white spots, I would think it might be mealybug. if it, you know, like little waxy cotton ball sort of look, then I would just say put the plant out and let it die in the cold, because if mealybug, you'll never control it. They're little white spots that have wings and they fly around. Again, it's an insect, but it might not be. So look closely. For now, just groom the plant. And if you do see evidence of insects, feel free to call back and we'll figure out what to do.
Okay, thank you. Blessings to you both.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Julia.
That's cool. I've never heard of that perfume plant.
Yeah, I always feel like you should be wearing a Sherlock Holmes hat. I thought that for a long time. It's these little mysteries, right?
Favorite is when somebody calls up and goes, so I just don't know what my plant's called. It's got green leaves. I'm going, okay, that's a start. What shape? Oh, the leaves are kind of oval. Oh, okay.
And they have a little point on the end.
Okay, we're getting closer.
Yeah. It's tricky. Well, no, I watch, especially when we're in the studio here, I can see your wheels turning when people are describing things, right?
Right.
And there's many, many different things it could be.
I know. Well, exactly. And when it's a big question, too, like that, because it's like, you know, so much going on. And, you know, for every question I get, I have to ask 10, it feels like.
Sure. Yeah. For narrow the field.
Yeah.
You're narrowing the field.
Exactly.
For sure. Okay. We have tons of room on the lines. I've got an announcement in a second that I want to get to. But again, the number 416-360-0740 or the toll free number outside Toronto is 1-866-740-4740. And do remember to let Carlos know if you are a first time caller. We've had a couple of them this morning.
Yes.
Which has been really great. Now, I have this. This made me laugh when I saw this.
Yeah, you've never heard of this before.
No, Seedy Saturday.
Seedy Saturday. Get down
like going into a seedy bar. Right?
Exactly.
You know? This is the London Middlesex Master Gardeners presenting Seedy Saturday on March the 4th, 2023. And that's happening in London, Ontario, the Carling Heights Community Center. And they have guest speakers. Mm-hmm. It's a community seed swap.
Yes.
Maybe you could explain this to me.
And it's a one-day event. What are the hours on that?
One day. Yeah, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Right. And it's probably no admission charge. It's vendors, local seed suppliers.
Actually, it says a $5. Oh, $5 cash admission.
Okay, so there's cash only.
Yeah, cash.
So make sure you got your $5 mm-hmm. cash. Once you're in the door, there will be vendors selling supplies for growing seeds.
Yeah.
There will be, if you walk in with seeds, there's an opportunity to swap.
Okay.
And just, you know, I'll take some of your cucumbers. You can have some of my tomatoes.
Okay.
So that, and of course, there's information on how to properly save seeds to do that. And then there's speakers. So they do have, I think, three.
They do. They have, is it Jenny Gerard talking about bees?
Mm-hmm.
I love talking. Yeah, bees, mm-hmm. bees. Mm-hmm. Sean James, Nifty Natives, and Aaron Deacon, Natural Fertilizers.
Right. So good information from all three of those speakers for the upcoming gardening season. So they're putting together a day when everybody's getting itchy and wants to get dirty, but it's still a bit early. So it's an opportunity to come together and learn and share and potentially purchase.
Yes, it says your garden vendor booths, meet mm-hmm. local garden clubs, ask a master gardener questions.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And so, and the master gardeners are a great group. I mean, talk about being intensely into your craft.
Yeah.
They are serious hobby gardeners.
Indeed.
Master gardeners. They've worked hard. I know we do have to take another quick break, but I want to just mention, put on your calendar, March the 8th.
Okay.
Which I think that's International Women's Day. March the 8th. I'm Zooming with the Riverdale Hort Society.
Oh.
From the comfort of my home in Prince Edward County.
Nice.
I'll be chatting with the Riverdale folks here in Toronto. My topic is called sexy soil, as in,
really?
Yep, soil is sexy.
Sexy soil. Wow.
Look at the look on your face.
I'm trying to figure out whether I can say what I want to say. It'll be safer to go to break.
You know what it is? All my life of presenting and educating and sharing information, I have so, you know, I can put up a topic like, you know, plant a beautiful container and hundreds of people will show up. I put up a thing like sexy soil and like two people show up. Like nobody wants to know about soil. So that's why I throw the word sexy in, hoping to grab a couple extra people.
There you go. You'll get the dirt on sexy soil.
Exactly.
There you go. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we do have The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, and we were just talking about
Dean Hall.
And Dean Hall, yeah, and we were talking about salt.
Yes.
Salt, because you got a question via email, mm-hmm. and so we'll tie this together.
Mm-hmm.
From Ian. And who asks, he said, what would happen to plants or grass if Epsom salts mixed with water were dumped on the garden or lawn? And yeah. So we were talking about Epsom salts.
I know, and you're looking at me going, I've heard of Epsom salts.
Well, because we have them in the house, and I know they're great in the bath.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So that's what's so cool about Epsom salts. They are magic. You can use them on your body.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can, if your horse goes lame, you can fix the horse, and you can use it in the garden. So what are Epsom salts? Number one, they have an amazing website, the EpsomSaltCouncil.org. Everything you've ever wanted to know about Epsom salts. So what is Epsom salts? It's magnesium and sulfur bonded together to make a salt. The people, when you think of salt, you think of the white stuff that you shake on your French fries. And it is a salt. It is sodium and chloride.
Okay.
So sodium is a positively charged ion. Chloride is a negatively charged ion. They come together, make a neutral molecule that's called a salt. And that's all that magnesium and sulfur are doing, the same thing.
Okay.
Your positive magnesium, your negative sulfur come together to make a salt. So we just mentioned that, you know, Don in Hamilton was salting his steps.
And he was worried that that might be having a negative effect on his plants.
Exactly, because sodium chloride is not something that plants want. Sodium they want in such minuscule quantities that it just happens. You don't need to add it.
Right.
Chlorine they do not want. Magnesium, on the other hand, and sulfur are essential micronutrients. They are essential to plant growth.
Right.
So that's why using Epsom salts on your garden is not a bad thing.
Okay.
The way using sodium chloride is.
Right. But will Epsom salts melt your ice?
Might.
It might. Well, so then it wouldn't be as bad if it got swept or shoveled into the garden.
That's right. So that's why there's environmentally friendly ice remover, because it's not sodium chloride.
Sodium chloride, right. Okay.
So we go to this EpsomSaltCouncil.org. Here's one of the little
Epsom salts.
Gardening with Epsom salts. Why is it good for your plants? How do you know if your plants need Epsom salts? Prepare your soil, feed and treat. And there we go. Fruits, houseplants, lawns, peppers, roses.
So it doesn't sound to me like Ian has anything to worry about.
Exactly.
Nothing.
But do follow the instructions, because too much of anything is a bad thing. You know, I, they make one a day vitamins.
Right.
So we start taking
six a day.
Exactly, because that would be negative. So same thing. Follow the instructions. Keep it positive by using the right quantities.
Sure. And I think, that stands for most things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Most things in life in moderation are good.
That's right. And always read instructions.
Yeah.
Okay. I know, most men aren't very good at that, but, you know, I'm generalizing.
Or asking directions.
Exactly.
Okay. My goodness. This is a day.
For first-time callers. This is exciting.
It does seem that we have another one. We have Brian on the line.
Sure, where he's calling from.
Brian with an I. Welcome to the Garden Show, Brian. How are you today?
Brian with a Y.
With a Y. Okay, I got it up with an I on the screen. So
no
with
worries.
A Y.
And Epsom salts is great for geraniums.
Yep.
For geraniums,
yeah.
Just brings them right back.
Where are you calling from, Brian?
North of London.
North of
Luke. London.
Yeah, okay.
I want to give you your garden wings, my friend. There you go.
Welcome to the show.
First-time caller,
awesome.
Okay, so what are we going to talk about, Brian?
I'm looking for a product called No Damp.
Oh.
Where can you purchase it now? I used to be able to get it everywhere.
I know. I think it's not available anymore in Ontario.
No Damp.
Okay, so No Damp. So you're a seed person? You're growing stuff from seed?
Well, yes. And you go, and they just rot off and die if you don't.
Sometimes.
What else could you use?
Well, what I would do is I would avoid needing No Damp. Well, you have two options. Because remember, No Damp is a fungicide.
Yep.
In 1998, the legislation in Ontario changed, and suddenly we were no longer able to purchase some of the things we had been so used to having available to us. You can probably buy it on the web and get it sent from the States or British Columbia or someplace if you really want it. But personally, to avoid needing No Damp, make sure your soil, the potting mix or the seed starting mix you're using is fresh. Just right out of a bag, nothing.
And sexy.
yep.
So nice, fresh, sterile media. Moisten, obviously, before planting. Make sure your containers are sterile. Just a little hot water, a bit of bleach. Give them a wash. Make sure everything's clean. then when you start growing your seeds, you've got that moist soil. I love using a bit of heat from below. I find the germination is much faster. And as soon as you get that germination happening, you're off with the lid, no more of this hood on top thing. And if you can run a little fan and get a little breeze happening, like I have a beautiful LED light that hangs over my seed growing area, and it comes with a fan. So it's got, you know, air movement, great lighting, and be careful with your watering. You know that fungal problems happen when we have too much soggy soil for too long, particularly if the temperatures are cool, fungus will grow and you'll need no damp. So try and avoid fungal problems and you won't need the no damp.
Thank you very much.
I hope that helps.
Yeah,
have a
thanks.
Good day. Happy trails.
Thank you. You
thank
too.
You. Until we meet again, Brian.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, thanks for that question. Brian has reminded me of something that I think I was going to ask you about last week, but now we are, you know, we are well into February. We're almost two-thirds of the way through. Is now the time. I always, always, always miss the window of starting seeds inside. I always miss that.
Well,
am
no,
I there?
You don't. You just get busy on other things.
But I want to do it. I like tomatoes. I want
not yet.
I
oh,
want
way
to be,
too early.
I want to be one of the people who starts their seeds inside and then takes them outside. But I don't know when
not
the window
yet.
Is. So not yet.
Okay. So not tomatoes. Anyway, yeah. Okay. So there are some seeds that we do start earlier than others.
Okay.
I think I mentioned things like geraniums. Many of the flowering annuals, begonias, are a good example. Okay. Begonia seeds that are so small you can't even see them. They are started way back in January. Okay. So depending on what you're growing, I mean, if you were growing cactus as an example, again, you can plant those seeds anytime. They can take years to germinate, but nevertheless, you can plant them anytime. Tomatoes, do not be putting a tomato seed near soil at all until, well, I'll tell you, it's going to be at least a month.
Okay, that's fine.
Might be 5 weeks, 6 weeks.
Okay.
There's this kind of a magical way of saying, when is my last frost date?
So am I looking more like the end of March?
Mm-hmm.
For those.
And then you're going to back up. You're going to count back from your average last frost, which so your average might be May 24th, something like that.
Right. Yeah.
So you're going to count backwards from that 6 weeks, and that's when you're going to plant your tomato seeds.
Okay.
And like I said, a little heat from below really gets things growing nice and, you know, good.
Yeah.
Much more quickly.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Going to give those numbers out again. We have to take our last pause for some wonderful messaging, and but we'll have time for probably at least one or two more questions, and the lines are open, so please give us a call. Toronto number is 416-360-0740, or the toll-free anywhere outside Toronto in this province of Ontario is 1-866-740-4740. We will be right back with more right here on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, storks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back here on The Garden Show, and just realized, Charlie, we didn't get any amaryllis questions today. It's all, I just jinxed it.
Well, how are your amaryllis doing? Did they come through?
Yeah, good. I've got one that is doing, you know, it's sprouted. The leaves are about 3 or 4 inches tall now, and so it's doing its photosynthesis thing. It's starting, right?
Sweet.
It's beefing up. It's beginning the journey of beefing up that ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've never put them outside before, but I think I will do that because it sounds like it's better.
I think it's easier.
But there's a risk. I've realized, you know, that there's always that risk when you put something outside and bring it in. Mm. There seems to be a little bit of a higher risk that you might bring an unwanted visitor into the house.
Right.
It's worth the risk?
I think so. Okay. Because, you know what, when it's beautiful, sunny summer weather, who's inside watering plants?
Yeah.
It's much easier to just put everything outside and pull out the hose and go,
Water
your house plants that way. I mean, you leave them in pots, obviously, the amaryllis, they don't come out of their pots. And I just have, 6 or 7 pots just sitting on a big tray in the shade, mostly. They get a little morning light.
Okay, like doppelt?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's an eastern location. Okay. So dappled works too, like under a tree or something like that. Because if it's full sun, you'll have to water them every day, and you don't want to do that. Yeah. So just
a little bit of dappled light.
Yeah, okay. morning sun is good. Don't get them into too much of a hot spot, and let them do their thing.
I got spots like that for sure. We can do that.
Yeah, and you're always doing landscape renovations at your place.
And I feel the bulb, like you said, and they're hard. It's still hard.
Oh, it better be firm, of course.
Nice and firm.
If it gets mushy, it's compost.
It's cool. Okay. let's go to. We have another caller on the line. I've got Thelma calling from Guelph. Welcome to the Garden Show, Thelma.
Thank you much. Good day to both of you.
Good morning.
Yeah, to you too. Happy morning.
Thank you. I have a question about a viburnum tree.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this in here now, I bet you, at least 5 years, if not more. Bloomed beautifully every year, and then the odor was just something else. Not a bud last year. How can I make this tree flower?
So when has it... there's many viburnums out there, so just trying to clarify which one you've got. Is this a plant that gets white flowers in, like, June?
Yeah, June.
Yeah. Are they fragrant, or are they just beautiful?
Oh, yes, they're just... out of this world.
Okay, that tells me something right there.
See, I saw Charlie putting on her imaginary detective cap there.
There you go.
Yeah, like Jessica Fletcher.
Have you, did you prune it at all last year?
I prune it every year. I take all the dead branches and everything out of it.
Okay, and when did you do that?
Around the 24th of May all the time. But I look to see if there's any buds coming on it.
Mm-hmm.
And... I make sure I don't cut anything near there.
Mm-hmm.
I fertilize it with bone meal and blood meal to keep the rabbits away.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, but last year, nothing.
Yeah, okay, so the buds are very obvious on that plant. Like the difference between a flower bud and a leaf bud is dramatic on that plant.
Yes.
And it is actually on all plants if you really look closely. But that one particularly, the flower buds are huge. So you know if you're doing any pruning, you're avoiding removing flower buds. So,
right, yes.
Okay, so
I'm only doing like brown branches or some that the wind have cracked off.
Yeah, or if they're interfering with each other, crossed and damaging, those should always be removed. You know,
and
the
I'm
dead, the
to
diseased.
Keep, the branches trimmed in the middle of the tree.
Okay, yeah.
So
oh, keeping
it more
open.
Airflow.
Yep, good idea. And it's in lots of sun, obviously.
Yes.
Beside
my deck. Oh, my kitchen.
Okay.
So when it does bloom, the whole house smells of this beautiful tree.
It's actually really gorgeous. I love this plant.
I'm getting a little bit of spring fever now.
Yeah, I know. I had this plant. I planted this in Richmond Hill, and a borer got into it and annihilated it. And I've never replanted it since then, but it is a really nice plant. Well, I would not be overly concerned if 1 year went by with no flower buds. If you went out today and looked at that plant, have you looked? Are there flower buds on it now?
Never looked, no. There's too much ice out there. I don't.
Okay, because there should be flower buds there now, which will be this spring's flowers. Missing a year is not the end of the world. It's very common. It's a lot of energy for plants to produce flowers. So, like we've said, sometimes you get a huge apple harvest 1 year and not such a big apple harvest the next. It's cyclical, right? The plants can only produce, the high quantity of flowers and fruit every second or third year. So it could be just a case of that. So I wouldn't be concerned. Take a look. It's like I say, very likely that there's buds on it now and you will get that beautiful fragrance coming this spring.
Should I feed it anything
other than bone and blood meal? Well, remember, bone meal is your phosphorus. Blood meal is a bunch of nitrogen. I personally would probably give it a more balanced fertilizer. Something, if you are using, you prefer organic or sounds like
you're... No, just natural bone meal. And
Natural bone meal. Right. So do you have a fire at all, fireplace?
No.
Okay. So you can always get some ashes out of the fireplace. Then you're balancing. So a little potash might be required just to keep that plant as healthy as possible. Maybe a synthetic all-purpose fertilizer might be good for the spring for a one shot. And just to make sure you're giving the plant a balanced fertilizer.
Okay.
We got to go. Thelma, thank you. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
So, Dean, we got seconds left. Thank you coming into Toronto.
Thanks for being the plant detective again. I love being here in the studio with you. It's great.
I know it is fun. I wish we were closer.
Yeah.
Thanks, Carlos. Thanks to our great callers. Couldn't do any of this without them. Now let's get out and count some birds.
Indeed.
See you next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.